Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Cause Stone Cold said so.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is February 1st, 2020. And we're about to get into our conversation with Ashley as we discuss everything that happened this past week in Raw and SmackDown. And of course, had to get her thoughts on the Royal Rumble, because I know that she desperately wanted to make our huge, mega, four-way co-host show that took place this past Tuesday. So we kind of made up for that, and I got her thoughts for you guys, and very interesting, and we came up with some theories, and just seemed to be on the same wavelength with a lot of stuff. It's crazy. And so you get to hear that conversation in just a couple of minutes. But first, I just want to thank you guys for making it to this show and giving you giving me the opportunity to talk wrestling with you. I know that it is a very crowded field when it comes to podcasting and wrestling podcasting. And we are very, very, very close, getting so close to the top 10 in terms of the podcast rankings on Apple Podcasts in the wrestling category. We're getting inching. My God, we couldn't be any closer. And I want to thank you guys for getting us there and scratching and clawing with us to be able to get to that that category and that high of a ranking. I want to thank you guys. It's because of you that this show is a success. So props to you guys, right? I know that a lot of people hate me or hate this show, and that's fine. But I also want to thank those of you that have stuck with this show and gave me a good ranking and rating and review. And you guys are the reason that this show is successful. And this show is going to be here for as long as I am breathing air, right? So as long as I am here and I am watching wrestling, this show will exist. And I'm going to continue to bring it to you and improve it as best I can. Right? That's improving my audio and not making sure my microphone is on max like I did like an idiot on my Rumble show, or just kind of giving the show a new coat of paint with new intros, new outros, new logo. I mean, these are the things that I know are important from time to time. So just again, big thank you. I do that every time, but I know it's kind of routine, but I do mean it. You guys really help this show be what it is. So thank you. And, I want to just say, hey, if you want to reach out to me and tell me how I can improve the show, I really am all ears. I don't care if you criticize the show, because that just tells me how to improve it. You can do so at the on Twitter at The Real WWE Podcast. The Real WWE Podcast at Gmail is my email, but The WWE Podcast is on Twitter. I almost said The Twitter. I feel like I'm like some 75-year-old man that doesn't understand social media and calls everything like the Twitter and the Facebook. Although the Facebook was actually the name of Facebook, right? I mean, you guys remember that when Facebook was the Facebook and it had like its own little logo of like a silhouette of a guy's face, and you could only be on Facebook if you were part of a university or a college or a high school, whatever. You had to have an EDU. Email address, right? I remember that. And then they finally opened it up to everybody. And when I just missed, thank God, thank God I just missed social media in high school and that kind of stuff. And I had flip phones all the way through college. So I'm kind of not sad that I missed all of the drama that is probably caused by smartphones nowadays. So, all right, way off topic, guys. We're going to get to the conversation with Ashley, and we talk Rumble. Not everything, because I know we've had a Rumble show. We've reviewed the Rumble at nauseam, but I wanted Ashley's thoughts because she had some different perspectives. And I know you guys were asking about what she thought, and we got that for you. We also get into, where they could be going for Super Showdown. How do they get to Roman Reigns and The Fiend? What if they don't get to Roman Reigns and The Fiend? We cover that. We also talk about Daniel Bryan and his path right now and the dog food segment on SmackDown with Baron Corbin and the Usos. And we also touch on the Orton attack on Edge and the emotional strings that have been pulled throughout this entire program that have just been A+ by WWE. Everything about it. You know, you guys know that I critique WWE at the drop of a hat, because it's some of the things that they do can easily be avoided, and yet they just continue to do them. And in this case, Edge and Orton has just been damn brilliant so far. I know it's been 1 week, but Edge's return was handled perfectly. Orton turning on Edge was awesome. There's a lot they could do with that. We actually, myself and Ashley, describe how we would book this from now through WrestleMania. We have a template. I came up with a template of a previous program that went from about this time to WrestleMania. And I said, all they have to do is follow this template. So you get to hear that as well. And Braun Strowman won the Intercontinental Championship. And I think it's, as the announcer said, it's about damn time. And so I think that was a good thing for Strowman. Not so great for Nakamura, who's, I hope, not going to go into obscurity. But Braun Strowman ends up winning the Intercontinental Championship in all places at Tulsa, Oklahoma, as Vince would like to say. So big moment for him on SmackDown. Drew McIntyre winning the Rumble. What we thought of that. So just really everything that you could we could talk about, we covered. As you know, we didn't get into every little thing because, as I said, it'd be an 8-hour show. But we also talk about Naomi, whether we think, you know, the fact that she's back is a good thing, where she could fit in, what she could possibly be doing, what Sasha and Bayley could be doing. Are they destined for a WrestleMania match against one another at WrestleMania? So lots of angles, lots of scenarios that we dig into. And of course, you know, we didn't agree on everything, and that's a good thing, but we certainly seem to have the same wavelength when in thinking when it comes to wrestling. So it's always a good listen, always a good time to have her on. And she is forever going to be the preview show co-host, because I swear that we don't do it on purpose, but the way things have been panning out, she seems to just be on the rotating schedule I have with the co-host. She seems to just fall into that every single time. So she will be back for the preview show for the Super Showdown prior to that Thursday, for the pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia on Thursday, February 27th. So she'll be back the Saturday before to give the preview and prediction show for that. So again, guys, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. If you want an ad-free experience to get all shows ad-free, and you want video, and you want a shout-out on this show, and you want to get on Twitter, or maybe come on and do your own show with me, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and that's how you can do it. Or go to the website at WWEpodcast.com. Not ad-free there, but every podcast that we do is also there. As I said, if you give me a like and a subscribe on Apple Podcasts, it really is the best way to support the show. Even if you want to just kill the show and give me 1 star, it still kind of helps, because you're still ranking the show and giving feedback. So that's fine. It kind of goes with the territory. Not everyone's going to love what you do. That's cool. So, all right, guys. Well, I think that's enough for introduction and housekeeping items. Let's get to Ashley. Let's get to our conversation about the Rumble, about Raw, about SmackDown, and it comes to you right now. Well, it is now time for your week in review, and I have somebody here that was unable to make the Royal Rumble show, but hey, it's not as bad as making your speakers blow out every single time you talk. I have nothing, no ground to stand on, and this is a great time now to welcome in Ashley Mann back to the show. We're going to get her Rumble thoughts. We're going to get into Raw and SmackDown and the general path and road that we are now on to WrestleMania. So, Ashley, welcome back. We are really glad to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on. Yes, I apologize about missing the other night, but I'm so happy to be on here tonight and talking with you and catching up, so should be a good show.
Definitely, and we're going to get to your Rumble thoughts that I want to just know, and I know that my listeners are curious as to what you thought generally about what happened at the Rumble. Obviously, McIntyre, Brock, Charlotte winning her the Women's Royal Rumble, but first, I know that you do another podcast, and I want to make sure that you let my listeners know where they can find you and what that's all about.
Yeah, so I do another show called Wrestle Rewind. It's me and about four of the guys. It's aired live every Tuesday now at 8:30. But you can listen, of course, on any podcast like Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. But yeah, just search for Wrestle Rewind and check us out.
Awesome. Well, Ashley, I'm going to just give the floor to you. And then my listeners know my general idea of what I thought about the Rumble, and we got in a lot of detail early this week, and I'll recap some of that, but I just need to know off the bat, and people want to know off the bat, what did you think about the Rumble and McIntyre's win and everything else?
Yeah, I guess I'll just start there. McIntyre was my pick going into it, and I was so happy just to see him, because the second he won, I don't think we've seen a Rumble victor that happy in quite some time, where you just see that genuine emotion just overtake them. And everyone knew, like, obviously he wasn't getting that type of reaction going into the Rumble, but we were definitely warming up to him. So especially seeing it was, what, 42,000, I think it's some odd number of people there in the stadium, just erupt like that with him. Like, I was just so happy for him. Just knowing his journey and everything that he's been through for the past however many years now. But yeah, I'm just so happy for Drew. Definitely happy that Roman didn't go over here just character-wise, like we had talked about briefly before. I think it would have definitely hurt Roman with the momentum that he's gaining as well. But yeah, and Charlotte, I think I actually ruled her out on our prediction show. I think I made it a point to rule her out on the show itself. So I was wrong on that. but I guess I don't know for sure if you've heard the rumors yet about her maybe facing Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. So I would for sure be here for that. And I think at this point with Charlotte winning, they would kind of have to go that route unless they take the title off of Becky or Bayley, which I for sure don't see it taking it off of Bayley or Becky at this point. Either one of them, I would see Bayley for sure before Becky, but yeah, I don't know. I would definitely be here more so for Charlotte and Rhea than Charlotte and either of the two current champions, just because obviously it's something fresh. And I think it would be an awesome match. Just thinking of the visual, seeing them face to face and just the build to it, I think would be so awesome.
It would. And to be totally honest, and I said this on my show earlier this week, a lot of what I said on the show earlier this week. So for those that didn't listen, go back and listen, or you can just get a quick recap of what I thought. And yes, Charlotte winning really made you automatically think, oh, is it going to be Raw or SmackDown? And then you start to hear, well, wait a minute. She comes on Raw. She says that she's going to compete for a championship. She didn't say one mm-hmm. of the, you know, Raw or SmackDown. And then you immediately go, oh, Rhea Ripley. That would be awesome, because Becky and Charlotte, we've seen it how many times. And then you get to Becky and Charlotte, and it's like, well, that hasn't happened as much. Could they build that up? Sure. But it's way more intriguing to have Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. And it would help cement NXT further as a legitimate third brand. And it just makes sense all the way around for Charlotte to do that. And so, and I have to ask this too before I forget. We haven't even mentioned the biggest thing that happened, at least in my eyes, on Sunday. And was Edge's return. So yes. Before, you know, I tell you what I thought, what did you think of that? Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I jumped out of my seat when I heard that the You Think You Know Me. Oh, like, it was just so emotional. Just like I was mentioning with Drew, this was a completely different type of emotion. And just seeing the look on his face and just his lips quivering, it's just, again, like, as happy as I was for Drew, take that and multiply it times like 1,000 for Edge, just because of, we never thought we would see him again, kind of like a Daniel Bryan, but maybe, I don't want to say more severe, because everything's, you know, I don't want to downplay Daniel's situation, but Edge had serious neck surgery and a neck injury and spinal injury, so there was just no way we ever thought he was going to make it back, and obviously to see that surprise, I'm just so happy, and then to see the follow-up that they did on Monday, I just thought was brilliant. It actually got me, because I thought we were going to see Rated RKO play out for a few weeks, maybe a month or two, and then have Randy turn. So to see them have that attack just immediately, I'm just super excited for that.
I am too. And they did get me on Monday night too, and that's a great thing. There hasn't been something this intriguing happen in WWE in quite a while, since maybe The Fiend, in a different way, of course, but Edge, you know, I just can't say enough about the moments that you get lost in wrestling, in the moments that remind you why you're a wrestling fan, those were one of those moments that even though I knew that there were a lot of rumors circulating and there was a lot of credible sites reporting that Edge has been cleared to wrestle, I had heard it for weeks, maybe even months beforehand, that it was a possibility of him coming back. The reality is, when, like you said, when you hear that, you think you know me, and like the crowd erupt like it was Stone Cold Second Coming. I mean, it was that loud of a reaction. And like you said, to me, the biggest point in that was, of course, the crowd reaction, which gave me chills. But it was that camera shot that you got of Edge coming through the smoke, and he's standing there, and his eyes, like, you could see him kind of tearing up, but
one shot when he's looking to his right, I think, or maybe it's his left, whatever direction he was looking in, just that one shot, it was just
that
perfect.
That is not something that was drawn up. It's not something that was quote scripted. It was just real, raw, true emotion from Adam Copeland. That's what
Exactly, and that's when it hit me too, because of course you hear the beginning of his music and you're in shock and you're excited, and then he comes out and then you see him and then he takes that second and then kind of like breaks you out of like you're being shocked and you're like, oh my God, what's happening right now? Like, he's actually here. Like, this is actually a real thing. Like, because I was one of those people who was like, absolutely not. There's no way, because I believed him. Like, I truly believe that when he said no, he wasn't coming back because he couldn't. Like, I actually believed it, even up until recently, like a few months ago or whatever, when the rumors really started picking up and he sent out that tweet and he said something to the effect of, no, I'm not, and no, I'm not, or something like that. I was like, yeah, people, like, we need to stop. Just leave him alone. And damn if I wasn't wrong. And I'm so happy to be wrong.
Yeah. While I thought there was a solid chance, I still, until you hear the music, until you see it and hear it and feel it. And that's the biggest thing here, was you felt this one. You felt it with him. It was such an emotional tug at your heart, because anybody who has watched Edge throughout his career knows that he did not end his career the way he wanted to. I remember his retirement speech, the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, when he faced Alberto Del Rio and had the championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, over his shoulder. We remember that, and it was nine years ago, which it seems longer. I mean, it felt like an eternity ago. So for him to come back, it felt a little bit like Shawn Michaels back in 2002 after he came back from his back surgery and then kind of felt things out and had another, what, 5-6 year run.
People say it could be considered better than his original run, which is of course debatable, but it just shows what kind of magnitude and impact he came on his return.
And to see the shape he's in, I mean, God, it's not like he's a shell of himself. I mean, I really believe that he believes that he can live up to what he used to do. I mean, he's had 9 years to heal his body. He's clearly been training for the last year and realizing this is a true possibility. That is, I mean, he put some work into his body, and kudos to him. And from what I'm understanding from his contract that has been floating around the internet, is that it is a 3 year, three match per year contract with 25 television appearances per year. So if that is indeed true, which to me makes sense, I don't need him working house shows. I don't need him working every Monday Night Raw. I don't need that. He's kind of on like a in between full time and in between Brock Lesnar schedule. Like he's right in the middle of Brock and a full time person.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, that's what he is. I guess I don't know how many millions of dollars, but good for him. And so that's the schedule I'd like. Three matches a year is perfect. I don't need him overexposing himself and kind of being like, okay, cool. You know, the shock wears off and the feel good sweetheart portion of his return wears off, and it's just the right amount in 25 appearances or whatever it may be per year. When you dish that out, that's once every 2 weeks. So there are, I think,
Which is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. This is a dream schedule for him to not kill his body, to extend his career, end it the way he wants to end it, and not overexpose himself. It's awesome all the way around. And like you said, with Monday Night Raw, Randy Orton doing what he did, slamming his head, doing the concerto, which we haven't seen in I don't know how long. That was awesome. I think that Randy in a heel role has always been better. And I think as much as the RKO is over, Edge and the love for Edge, I think, may actually trump the love for the RKO. Despite how much Randy, even as a heel, when he would hit the RKO, people would pop. I think in this case, boy, they got some true heat. This is a I think, a great angle, a great first program for Edge to be in.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't remember the last time that I was actually concerned for, like, legitimately concerned for a wrestler's well-being. This, and just from the RKO, because the second Edge grabbed his neck, man, like, I bought in. I was like, oh my gosh, what if that was it? Like, what if this whole thing is ruined now? Because it's an RKO. He obviously goes right for the neck. So, and of course, Randy Orton is a beyond professional at this point, but it's just like, it legitimately scared me. And then to go on and see what Randy would do later on with the concerto and everything like that, that was just, ooh, it was brutal. And that's perfect, because now it allows Edge to not appear on TV for at least a month because he's at home recovering. Maybe we can get, I believe Beth touched on it at the beginning of NXT this week. But I was actually surprised to see Christian not really mention Edge's health at all, unless I missed that as well on backstage. But nonetheless, I think it was a great start and a great just rejuvenation for Randy Orton as well, because Randy Orton is scheduled to come out this coming Monday to address the situation. And man, can you just imagine the heat that he's going to get and the boos from that crowd, because he just took out our beloved Edge. Like, we haven't seen this guy in 9 years. He makes his triumphant return and Randy Orton turns on him right from the get-go. So I'm actually very much looking forward to Monday Night Raw this week.
Right. That's the whole key, is that that's why I said this is the most intriguing angle. And I don't know how long, months or maybe even years, you can make the case. This is something you look forward to. I mean, regardless if it's a 3-hour show or not, you're thinking, well, what's he going to say? Is Edge going to appear via satellite? What's his response going to be? How is he going to explain his actions? And you could say, well, he eliminated Randy from the Rumble, and he did. But this goes beyond that. There's got to be some reason beyond, well, he turned his back on me and eliminated me from the Rumble. It's deeper than that. And
just an RKO would have justified that.
Exactly.
They're like, all right, tit for tat. But
yes,
to do the concerto, that's a whole nother level.
That, to me, I mean, they have a ton of history to draw from here. They, I mean, with Rated RKO, you go back into the history books of what they've did and the destruction they caused. And you could say that, you know, Edge always tried to be the star. He was piggybacking off of me. You know, you could really live off a lot of their history and remind fans and give them an educational video of what their history is. That's the way to go with this, because that's the reason that this happened. It can't just be Rumble related. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Maybe for the first time, an inspired heel promo by Randy, you know, instead of just kind of going through the motions. And I mean, that's the way I kind of feel Randy's been, is just, I'm doing things. I'm so good that I don't need to really try to do it. And I hope this one that he gives is an inspired one. I believe the crowd is going to tear him apart, and that's what I want, and that's what's supposed to happen. So I'm really looking forward to this. I guess my question to you would be, do you think that this program is going to make it all the way to WrestleMania? Do you think this is a pit stop to someone bigger at WrestleMania? Maybe a Seth Rollins. I can't wait for whenever that happens in Edge.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I'm really looking forward to. But do you think this is something that starts maybe, I mean, it started last Monday, but it has part one at the Super Showdown, or really we go to Elimination Chamber, or does this go all the way to WrestleMania? I've been really juggling this one.
I hope they drag this out to WrestleMania, and I don't even think it would, I don't, drag isn't the right word. I think they can thread this out until WrestleMania, because I could very easily see us not hearing anything from Edge for at least a month. Mm-hmm. I think a month would be like a good cushion, so you're not pushing it, but because I think Monday is step one, right? And that's week one down that we won't see Edge. Have Randy come out, cut this nasty promo, just express like how, just pretty much set up the storyline and give us the back history and explain why he did what he did to that level, and then you can drag it out, because then maybe next week you can have, I don't know, maybe Christian show up on Raw, because Christian is involved every week now, so it's not a foregone conclusion to even get in touch with Christian. He's been appearing on the reunion shows and everything, so it's very easy to drag Christian into this. Or maybe just have Randy see Christian backstage, like Christian's talking to like a few of the guys or whatever, the production staff. And then Randy just comes up and attacks Christian. Mm. And that just kind of builds and adds into the storyline, just gives it more and more fluff for when Edge makes his return. And at that point, it would be 2 weeks after. So I think they could definitely drag it out. I think WrestleMania is where they meet face-to-face for the first time. Or maybe the week before is when they're in the ring face to face, but no physical altercation or anything like that. Just because this is Edge, and with the reaction that he got at the Rumble and on Monday Night Raw, I think that you need to treat him like you would a Batista coming back or a John Cena. Like, you need to have his first match back at WrestleMania to set the standard. Because then when he goes on to face a Seth Rollins, which you could probably do at SummerSlam, it'll make it feel that much bigger, which and then will help Seth as well. So I just hope they, whatever they have envisioned and planned for this, I just hope they do it right, which I have faith that they will, just by seeing how they did it the first two nights. And I don't see Edge coming back and not having a solid plan. So I have a lot of faith in this storyline going forward.
Me too. And especially with Paul Heyman at the helm. I mean,
Raw
has been really good now for a long time. It's not just your occasional, you know, one that just happens by accident. I mean, we've seen last year, year before, and a number of years, I mean, looking over the past 5 years, really, that Raw would be good for one out of every 4 weeks, and you'd have, you know, like three stinkers, and one that's like, okay, it looks like they're getting them back on track, and then it would just be kind of happenstance that you'd get a good show. Now it's intentional, and it's been clear that the direction of Raw and the storytelling and all the congruity in storytelling and just the pacing of the show, things have been much better for a long time. So, like I said, like this past week, you got a build to Edge's return throughout the entire show, reminding you, Edge live tonight, Edge live tonight.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be the first thing you saw when you turned on Raw, and I was prepared. I made sure to be home by 8 o'clock because I figured they're going to have Edge come out just to strike while the iron's hot and just set it off that way. And when it was Drew, I wasn't disappointed at all. But once I realized Edge was going to be at the end of the show, I was like, all right, you know, that makes sense. You know, have what people want to see the most at the end of your show because it forces them to watch.
It does. And I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, they got to have Edge at the beginning of the show. But the more they drew it out, if they don't have him at the beginning of the show, you know he's going to be at the end of the show. It's one or the other. Maybe at the, you know, the 10 o'clock hour, top of the hour. But it's when they kept pummeling it and promoting it, I said, yep, it's going to be at the end of the show. And they're going to pull some kind of angle. And I didn't know what it was, obviously, until what happened. So I just love the way that they built the anticipation. That doesn't happen often, that they just have this main thing, that's this overarching theme throughout the show of here's what's coming tonight, and reminding you to keep you in tune. And again, having Edge come out there, and again, everything that's happened is, I think, the best way that it could have happened for this program. I'm looking forward to it. As you said, if this goes all the way out to WrestleMania, they could absolutely do that. I am all for that. Like you said, the key here is to have Edge absent for some time, maybe something via satellite or I don't know. But yes, keep him away. The longer that these two are apart and the more heat Randy builds by attacking Christian or, you know, maybe even threatening his wife, Beth Phoenix, something like that. Mm-hmm. Randy's done that in the past with Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. There's a history there.
Randy Orton is that kind of guy.
Exactly. We've seen it. I mean, like, yes.
I can just picture him showing up at NXT, just like showing up behind Beth. Yes. Like they're focusing on the three announcers. They're setting up the show, whatever. And then all of a sudden you just see Randy Orton appear. And just like, hey, I got a message for your husband type thing. Because Randy Orton, he hears voices, right? That's his whole thing. Like, that's who he is. So that's why I feel like they'd be foolish, unless there's a different plan in mind, to not drag this out. Because there's so much substance. And so save Edge's dates for characters he may not have as much backstory with. And use his time for them, appearance-wise. Like, actually, in person. Yeah. I'm totally down for the satellite, too. I like that idea. I really like when they do stuff like that.
Like, have him, you know, shown that he's back in a hospital or in a neck brace sitting at home or something like that. And, you know, look what you've done, Randy. And, you know, just because, like you said, the way he sold that RKO, like, he didn't sell that he was knocked out. He sold that, oh, my God, like, my neck could be broken again.
And he's just scared. Yeah. Because I would be, too. Like, just imagine, like, you had two neck surgeries. It ended your career 9 years. You come in and you get struck right in the neck, essentially. Like, I would be more terrified than probably in pain in that exact reaction, you know?
Yeah, and I legitimately felt concerned. And I know that they know it's an angle, and we all know this is, you know, scripted. I hate that word, but it's pre-planned. I don't know what phrase I want to use, but it's – it's something that even though I know and they know and they're trying to be safe, that I'm still concerned as a person for him. Like, I mean, just because
you know.
That's
what makes wrestling so great. Dude.
Yeah. And the concerto topped it off. But if Randy pulls this out all the way to WrestleMania, they could absolutely do it. I don't want, like you said, I don't want his first match being at Super Showdown. It would make no sense. Saudi Arabia, I don't think, deserves it as a country. Their government certainly doesn't deserve it. But hey, don't tell Shawn Michaels that, who ruined his comeback retirement for a bald-headed, not great HBK match with Undertaker and Kane. So, but I don't need that as being his first one. I don't think that the Saudi Arabia audience necessarily would give him the same reaction that the United States audience would, because I don't think that they were WWE has only expanded globally over the last 15 to 20 years, really pushed it. And Edge, while he was a part of it during that expansion, I still believe that the stronger connection is with the U.S. audience, who is where he grew up with. The U.S. based audience and Canada, of course, were the ones that were there as a foundation of fandom for him. I just don't think it's the place for it. I really, really hope that it's not. Well, part one's going to be at Saudi Arabia. Part two's in the Elimination Chamber, and then their blow off is at WrestleMania in their finale, part three. I really want this whole thing held off with no physical contact. Like you said, maybe a face to face that they like to do before WrestleMania. But have Edge. I don't want to see him spear Randy Orton. I don't want to see him maybe get a couple of punches in some kind of brawl, but ultimately get pulled apart. You just want that heat to build. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I'm rambling, but the one thing that I remember from Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon when they fought at WrestleMania, my God, 10, 12 years ago or whatever it was, I remember that program. It started with Shawn Michaels telling Vince McMahon to move on after Bret Hart had come back.
Yeah.
And it started from there. And from then on, which started, I believe, in January or late January, early February, right about now, Michaels didn't get a single get any kind of retribution on Vince McMahon. Every single Monday Night Raw was Vince McMahon building heat, building heat. Mm-hmm. You'd think he'd have Vince, and Vince would have the Spirit Squad, or he would have Shane at his side, where he just could not get his hands on Vince. I mean, it went on for like 10 weeks, and I was getting so angry, and I'm like, it got me so invested to want to see Michaels beat the hell out of Vince McMahon. And after 2.5 months of Vince getting every single week heat build on him, it finally happened at WrestleMania, and it was extremely satisfying seeing that. So if this was something that they would like to use as a template for Randy and Edge, I'm all for it. I mean, you remember that program? Maybe I remember.
Yeah, I think it was for WrestleMania 22, right?
22,
which
would have
been 06.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was just such a great program because everything was just believable. And like you said, I just wanted to see Shawn just get his hands on Vince. And because then you think about all of their backstory as well. And it was so easy to buy into why Shawn was so frustrated and how you just couldn't wait to see the match. And I think it was like I forget what it was called, like a no DQ match. But I remember just seeing Shawn do the elbow drop off of the top of the ladder right onto Vince. I forget what kind of match it was. I guess it was obviously No Rules or some type of that. But it was just, it's easy to do when you have the right story and the right guys involved. And this is just, this pretty much just fell into their lap. And it's just, they'd be foolish not to take advantage of it.
They would. I don't know. Anyway, it's week one. Week one, and we're right. Already pumped. And this is great. I mean, this is just genius by all involved. I have nothing that I can critique about any of this whatsoever on anybody's part, which is insane. And I have nothing bad to say. So it's really something that is going to be that the fans are going to be hooked into if done correctly. And I believe they will. And it's going to be awesome, especially when Edge finally gets that moment, and he will, of getting the victory over Orton, and to see not just Orton, but beyond that again, which he mentioned a bunch of guys that he'd said he'd like to work with, and Seth Rollins was on that list. I think Seth Rollins and Edge could really tear it up, maybe it doesn't happen until SummerSlam, or maybe even all the way to next year's WrestleMania, but that's a program I want to see too. So, all right. Wow. So we have not just McIntyre's win, which we briefly mentioned, but I would say that was the right move. Having Brock Lesnar be eliminated by McIntyre, that was maybe even if not maybe a slight notch below the pop that Edge got. That pop when Lesnar was eliminated really blew my mind of how crazy that reaction was. And I loved the beginning of that match with Lesnar just dominating. And I called it. I said, not to toot my horn, but I got the winner wrong. But at least I said that with Lesnar in there, he's either going to get eliminated really quick and people are going to be shocked, or he's going to dominate and throw people out and throw people out and throw people out and build to who's going to eliminate him. And lo and behold, it was Drew McIntyre, which was, I think, the right choice. It immediately made him babyface. And it was the right call. Having Roman Reigns, even as the runner-up, did not make me happy. But he ultimately got eliminated, and that's the important point. So moving on, though, I do also want to ask, was there anything else about the Rumble, though, that you wanted to chat about before we get into more of this week?
I think that pretty much covers everything, all the major points for sure.
All right, awesome. Because I know that there was also Asuka and Becky, which... what was your thought on that?
Thinking about that, yeah. The match was okay. I think I enjoyed their Rumble match from last year better than this one, just my personal preference. But it was definitely a good match, and I like what they did with The Miz and all that, but it kind of makes me wonder what they're going to do with Becky going forward. Like I had said in our prediction show, I saw Becky winning this because they can obviously set up their third match at WrestleMania if they need to. If like a Shayna Baszler or a Ronda Rousey isn't available for Becky and you have no one else built up by then, I would enjoy the match. But I'm just kind of curious to see what they do with Becky and to see her promo from this past Monday and what she said and how she's calling herself the GOAT now and that she's just gonna start going after people. That's interesting, and I'm curious to see what they end up doing with that, or if it was like if they actually have her going after people and attacking people, or if she's just that was just the promo and they're still just going to set up matches in their typical fashion. So I'm really curious to see what Becky's build into WrestleMania this year is going to be, because just think of how hot she was last year and the storylines and Ronda Rousey and just all the momentum that they had going into Mania, and this year. I don't want to say Becky's cooled off. It's just a different type of build. And I really want to see who she's going to end up facing at Mania.
Me too. Rumor has it, again, like you know, so many rumor mills are out there, but to me, the most logical, if Ronda's not coming back, is Shayna Baszler. I mean, they had a program back in Survivor Series, and they had a promo, sit-down promo that really was jaw-dropping.
Oh, I loved it.
So, exactly. They have something to build on there, and they clearly have chemistry. They have very... To me, their personalities gel very well together. They both kind of stand for the same thing. They have the same type of brash personality and in your face, I'm going to just call you out or just beat you down. You know, I feel like that.
They have that mutual respect. Like, even if they're never going to admit it verbally, I think what I got from their... That face-to-face sit-down promo that they or interview that they had a few months ago, I got that vibe that you know that they have that mutual respect, but they're gonna beat the you know what out of each other.
I do too, and they could tear it up again. The interesting question would be if Ronda comes back, and the reason I'm saying if, I mean, again, it is always an if, but I'm leaning more towards it's gonna happen before Mania. Because, again, they alluded to it this past week on SmackDown. Last night on SmackDown, they had a segment with Corey Graves plugging his podcast and saying that Ronda Rousey was a guest on my podcast After the Bell and said that, you know, hey, Ronda may be back here sooner than later. And I'm like, okay, first of all, why would you ever say that if people are going to, like, I don't understand why
would
he would
even bring her
like,
up.
Why would you even do that? That's such a low energy way to bring her back into the conversation. But nonetheless, it was said, kind of alluding to that she'll be back before WrestleMania comes to us. So if that's the case, if Ronda's back, if Shayna Baszler's there and Becky's there, it's kind of a weird scenario because if Charlotte goes after Rhea Ripley, which I believe she will, does Shayna Baszler go after Bayley and then you have Ronda after Becky? I mean, that to me would make the most sense. How would that work if Ronda's injected into the picture?
I guess. Yeah. I don't want to say Survivor Series ruined it, but if I see Shayna come up before Mania or come up to have a match at Mania, I want it to be against Becky. No disrespect against Bayley, but I just don't feel like right now that's the match that I would want to see for Shayna at Mania. I want to see her go against Becky. I have a weird feeling that Ronda's not coming back for Mania, or maybe if she does, like, I kind of see Ronda coming back the Monday after Mania, and then maybe just going from there, which is kind of weird to say, because obviously the star power that Ronda has, you would expect her to be here and be setting up some type of storyline going into WrestleMania, but I don't know, for some reason I have a weird feeling that she's not coming back before Mania. But then again, I was completely wrong about Edge, too, so I could be way off here. But I think it's going to end up being Becky and Shayna, Charlotte and Rhea, and Bayley and Sasha at Mania.
You're probably right. I'm okay if Ronda doesn't come back before Mania, because I like the potential matchups that we have in-house. I don't necessarily need Ronda there. If she's there as a special enforcer, or I don't even know if in a guest referee role it would really benefit the women that are competing in that match, because it would skew the winner. Maybe she comes back after a match is over and beats somebody down. Or like you said, the Monday Night Raw after. God knows that's a crazy show.
Yeah, because you can see, so let's say Becky beats Shayna, and then Becky says, all right, now I've truly beat everyone. Because for me, I kind of, with Becky's promo this past Monday, I kind of flashed back to heel Rock when Goldberg was making his first debut, when Rock was saying he's beat everyone, because that was right after he beat Stone Cold at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 19. And I think it was I'm pretty sure it was the very next night on Raw as well.
Yeah, it was.
He cut that promo, and of course that's when Goldberg made his debut. So I kind of feel that for the Ronda's return. I see Becky beating Shayna, which of course I would be upset about, but that's kind of the point, right? And then Becky comes out and gloats and really calls herself the GOAT now, and she's truly beat everyone. And then bam, Ronda's music hits and the place goes crazy, and yeah, just go from there.
I'm all for that. I like you said, I want things one-on-one this year, for God's sakes. I don't need a triple threat in any women's front, or any main event for that matter, any singles championship, please, one-on-one, for God's sakes. And, you know, that's why I'm kind of leaning towards Ronda doesn't need to be there in ring. She could just kind of kick off the next year of WWE, if you will, in the Monday Night Raw after. That to me would be more intriguing. But the other point, and you kind of glossed on this, with Becky being a little more arrogant, a little more cocky, she's kind of been like that all along. But to me, the Raw promo this past week was much more heelish. And I don't know if that was on purpose or her just going over the top of being way too overconfident as a babyface, not necessarily trying to signify or plant a seed that she's turning heel. To me, I took it very heelish. Nobody in their mind, in their right minds, as a babyface, gloats that arrogantly and creates a jacket for themselves, calling themselves the GOAT. That's something that is earned to you by people that are not you. I just took it very arrogantly, and I said, yeah, it wasn't to me something as a babyface that you should do. I know that Austin called himself, you know, the BMF, or, you know, he would refer to himself as the toughest SOB, but like that was something that was earned. I mean, he had a neck injury from Owen Hart. He fought back from that. He nearly got paralyzed. He bled out at WrestleMania 13 with Bret Hart. Like, he's done that. I just calling somebody themselves the GOAT, I took it as kind of a foundation or a little bit of a seed being planted to turn heel. Did you?
Yes and no. So Becky, she, like you said, her character, she calls herself the Man, right? She is kind of arrogant, but rightfully so up until this point. But I don't know. I think for this one, I'm kind of taking a wait and see approach. Because it could just very well be Becky just being super confident in herself and just going off the cuff. But then again, the whole GOAT part is kind of what had that little interesting twist at the end. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to wait this one out and see how her promo, like maybe this coming Raw goes, or what she ends up doing on Raw Monday night. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. Definitely something that I'm keeping my eye on for sure. Cause I'm wondering if they're expecting, like, let's say they do go the Shayna route or even Ronda, like, are they expecting whoever is going to face Becky at WrestleMania to maybe get a better or more positive response And so that's why they're kind of planting the seeds now, just in case.
That's what I'm wondering. Even if this is not truly any seeds being planted for a heel turn, and it was just Becky being Becky, and, you know, she's the man, she collects debts, she comes, you know, the man comes around, all those things. I have a feeling that, you know, it's been a year now almost. Becky has had an amazing run as women's champion on Raw, one of the best of all time, one of the best runs of all time. And we had that celebratory moment with her last year at WrestleMania in the main event. And I'm thinking that fans are starting to think about, hey, who could she drop this to now? I mean, we've had our fun with Becky. It's been a great ride. But is she overstaying her welcome so that at WrestleMania, if she continues just kind of this arrogant, not intentionally heel, just Becky being Becky road, will the fans start to resent her that she's had this long enough? I'm ready to move on to see who else could help the belt and could be, I hate to say being made by the belt because it should be the other way around, but who that next person will be, who will she hand the baton to next? Because fans consider a 2-month title run a long run now. So to have it go almost a year there, I have that feeling, especially at the WrestleMania crowd, if it's Shayna Baszler one-on-one against Becky Lynch, I really have a sneaking suspicion the majority of fans could be chanting for Shayna Baszler because she's a believable character. She's a true badass. She is authentic, and she's been proven to have awesome matches. She's proven and paid her dues in front of the audience. So I just have that possibility. I don't say it's guaranteed, but that possibility that the fans could say, hey, Becky, you've had your time. We're ready to see what Shayna can do with this thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
All right. Well, one other thing about the Royal Rumble that I wanted to touch on with you, and maybe this is also kind of a combination question because this was something that also happened on SmackDown, is Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. I guess kind of a twofold question, but what did you think about their match at the Rumble and with the whole dog food angle on SmackDown this past week?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was wrong about this one as well for their Rumble match, at least. It was fine. I enjoyed it. It was cool. The fans seemed to be really receptive of Roman. I think Roman with the Usos is very smart. It only benefits Roman because the Usos are cool. You know, the Usos are fun to like. They're just fun guys. And they're very good on the mic as well. So seeing Roman out there with the Usos, you just get that feeling that he's just more comfortable and more relaxed, which makes sense, obviously, because they're family. But I just like this version of Roman. I'm digging it. And I don't remember the last time that I've actually said that. So I want them to allow him to move on from Corbin now, but I really don't know what he would move on to at this point. The whole dog food thing on SmackDown, you know, it is what it is. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do sometimes, you know? I feel like that could be the blow off though, because now like they're even. So I'm hoping that is the final straw and Roman moves on to whatever, maybe Sheamus. I think that could be an interesting feud. So we'll see, but I'm interested to see what they do with Roman going forward from here.
I am too. I think we all know the destination here, right? We all know, yeah. We all know where the end is, and it's just a matter of how do we get Roman there, you know, before we actually introduce this program, because again, they have Super Showdown, which is in, hold on, 1, 2, 3, almost 4 weeks, right? A little bit less than 4 weeks on Thursday, February 27th in Saudi Arabia. So my guess is that they string this Corbin Reigns deal one more pay-per-view to Super Showdown, and then they get right into Elimination Chamber season where they say, hey guys, we're going to stick 6 of you in here. The winner of the Elimination Chamber match gets a shot at the Fiend. So I think there's 3 more weeks to go with Corbin Reigns. Get us through Super Showdown. Then we get into immediately following that, you're getting into the Elimination Chamber for the number one contendership for the Universal Championship. That's my best guess, because I don't think they have anywhere else to go. They have to put Roman on the show. It has to be some program that makes sense. And for him to have a new opponent that you only have a few weeks to build, while we've seen Corbin Reigns, maybe they can do just squeeze a little bit more juice out of this and do just something out of the ordinary. Maybe, I don't know, make it a cage match, or I don't know. We've already seen Falls Count Anywhere, no DQ. Maybe there's just one more thing that they could do and they could bill it as last time ever. We all know how they stick to that, yeah. But at least they could bill it like that. So at least fans go, okay, well, they'll be done with it at least for a few months, right? So that's my, if you're going to ask me, that's my guess.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the Saudi Arabia show in February. Completely forgot. My mind was on Elimination Chamber. But yeah, that makes total sense. And I could definitely see them stretching it out to that show because they have to have Roman at that show. And Corbin is just a great heel to have him face over there. So yeah, I can definitely see it playing out that way. And then, like you said, him winning the chamber match to face The Fiend and just go from there and have it start that way. Which, yep. Man, if that's what ends up happening, I can't wait to see how fans are going to react just to Roman and The Fiend. Are they going to cheer Roman? Are they going to boo him? If they end up doing that, which we all, you know, pretty much are for sure it is what's going to happen, I can't wait to see how it's going to play out.
I have my suspicions. The Fiend, honestly, when you look at the Royal Rumble match with Daniel Bryan and you hear the reaction, when The Fiend was on offense, it wasn't necessarily boos. It was just kind of people being a little bit subdued and quiet. Or you'd hear a yell every now and then, a small smattering of boos, but it wasn't overwhelming. And when Bryan was on offense, people would cheer. So if they can't get The Fiend over as a mega heel with Daniel effing Bryan, I really doubt that they're going to be able to get Roman Reigns in that position and have people actually boo The Fiend and not cheer him, where they can only get to the level of not saying anything, not necessarily booing the guy. When you put Roman Reigns in there, I just don't think it's going to be a good mix for the reaction that they want. Now, with that being said, Roman has made a lot of progress since a year ago, this time a year ago. And they have done a very good job of booking him, not putting him in title pictures, although he still opens and closes every damn show, regardless of what's going on in the title picture. So his positioning is very telling of what the company views him as. So my estimation is that with all the progress that they've done with Roman, and there are things that they can do if booked properly to try to get the best possible heat they can on Roman or on The Fiend, they could maybe mitigate some of those boos if the plan is to not turn heel, Roman heel, which I will just go with, it's never going to happen. So yeah, I'm interested. When you get to WrestleMania and they're in Tampa, what does the crowd do? I mean, I'm so interested to hear it. I just don't know. At this point, it's too early to call. Because we all know we're all getting there, but man, The Fiend is so intriguing and so original and so cool. Even though the Hell in a Cell match certainly The Fiend still has the stink of the Hell in a Cell match on him. You know, if that match hadn't happened, I couldn't imagine how hot he'd still be. But I don't know. The short answer is I don't know, but I would venture to guess it's not going to be overwhelming, you know, an amazing reception for Reigns and booing The Fiend out of the building. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I can see maybe 60-40 at best, Fiend Reigns at Mania, reaction-wise. I don't know, man. I'm sitting here as you were talking, I'm thinking, maybe, what if they don't? What if, you know, they do have the Elimination Chamber match and whoever wins gets to face The Fiend, and what if Roman doesn't win there either? And they have someone else face The Fiend, which is a completely different story in and of itself. But that would be interesting and pretty telling as well if Roman has another opportunity to go to the title match and he loses that as well.
That's something that I don't think we're really thinking about because we think it's just a foregone conclusion. But what if also, and I think maybe it's a little more likely that, okay, Roman wins, we get the match that we all think is going to happen. What if Roman loses at WrestleMania? I mean, The Fiend continues his championship run. That's a possibility. Look what happened with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns when we all thought it was going to be, okay, let's just get us to Mania. Let's just freaking have Roman win and let's get on with our life. Pull the Band-Aid off and let's just get on with it. And Brock Lesnar beat Roman Reigns. So, and he didn't end up winning it until 6 months later at SummerSlam. So there have been examples when you think you know the main event outcome, and Vince will pull one over, just to pull one over, I think. And even though he's delaying the inevitable, it's still an unpredictable outcome. So do I think that that could happen? I think it's more likely than not seeing Roman Reigns in the title picture at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I agree with you there. I could actually see him losing to the Fiend at Mania, now that you say it that way. I could definitely see that. And what a moment that would be, too. And Bray deserves... That's a thing, too. I think Bray deserves this victory. We're all just assuming Roman is going to win because Roman normally wins these types of matches, but Bray Wyatt has worked very hard with this character, and so have they. You know, the people behind the scenes in WWE. So a lot of people have put a lot of work into that character in this build, and he's the champion for a reason. So I think we're all assuming, too, that Roman is going to win, but I think just because Roman is, like, the face of WWE in a lot of people's eyes, but I don't think that we should just necessarily count The Fiend and Bray Wyatt himself out of this match either.
I don't think we should. No. And like you said, the thing is, Roman is, I don't want to say that he's beyond the championship, but at this point in Roman's career, he's been around a long time now and is a singles competitor for the last 5 years. I think that having him lose at WrestleMania won't hurt him long term, because Roman is pretty damn Teflon, because we know that Roman Reigns eventually will be champion again. And we know that 99% of the cases, Roman can beat any heel, right? So I think having Roman Reigns lose, and if he lost in an ultra competitive way, or lost in a way that was controversial, and maybe the Fiend cheated to win of some kind of way, that wouldn't necessarily hurt Roman Reigns. It would, you know, that's my thought on it. Because if they're worried about, well, we don't want to hurt Roman, look what we've done. Well, again, it's about how you win and how you lose that really matters. So there are things that they can do to protect Roman while still keeping the championship on Bray Wyatt. And like you said, I really, really, really hope that the outcome here and the thinking here is not, we're just building him up for Roman to beat him. We're just going to build up the Fiend. He's going to be this unbeatable monster. You know, he's going to take 16 curb stomps, and he's going to take, you know, 18 chair shots, and he's still going to get up. But damn it, he can't take Roman Reigns down. And, you know, Roman comes out and ends up spearing him, I don't know, 10 times and finally beating him. I just think that there's more damage to be done on the Fiend than there's damage to be done on Roman Reigns by a loss.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
So, all right. Well, speaking of that, just kind of touching on The Fiend and Daniel Bryan, which I think is going to be, again, I feel like the Super Showdown here is just going to be a continuation of and kind
it's
of
gonna
fallout.
It's going to be like Backlash.
Yeah, it's Backlash. It's just kind of like picking up the pieces and sweeping away, you know, the first part of the WrestleMania season, and let's just get to it. So, to me, after Super Showdown, we get into the thick of it and start to really see the WrestleMania card take shape. We're still kind of in the Royal Rumble after effect, so I'm thinking The Fiend and Daniel Bryan may have one more encounter in Saudi Arabia. We didn't see Daniel Bryan on SmackDown per se. They showed a video that he did on WWE.com about loving this business too much, which I really believe is the case. Everything he says, I believe.
I was going to bring that up. I really, really loved that video. Wasn't or that shot. It was such a good piece, man. And it was just real and from the heart. And it was just Daniel Bryan. Watch out, Colin. Just Daniel Bryan just being himself. And it's just what makes you love him, you know?
Yeah, I know. I hear your dog shaking in the background.
Sorry.
That's fine. No, it's okay. It's okay. I have my
dog. Get out of the room.
I have my dog. And I try to, like, every time I let him out of the cage when I'm recording, he'll try to come up to me and rub and like make noises and start running around the room. So I have to, unfortunately, like just either keep him out of the room or just put him in his cage just for like an hour, just because I
know. Yeah, I normally keep her out of the room, but she was just insisting on staying in here. I was like, all right, well, just go lay down. And she woke up. So sorry.
Yeah, no, trust me. No, it's fine. I do the same thing. But yes, I loved that video with Daniel Bryan. There was nothing scripted about it. It was Daniel Bryan speaking about the truth and that he loves this business. And we got a teaser on SmackDown that not only does Daniel Bryan return next week, but also the Firefly Funhouse returns next week. So I think that in sync, you will see these two have one final encounter at Super Showdown because they're both returning the same week. Neither one is in any other program right now. It's a short time frame to get this built to the next pay-per-view of Super Showdown. So again, this is just the final chapter in the Royal Rumble TLC kind of era that we're in. And then I think we'll get into the real meat of what WrestleMania season's about. So I just, if Daniel Bryan and The Fiend do indeed meet at Super Showdown, which I think they will in some way, do I even dare ask this? Do you think it's even possible in the remote area of your brain that Daniel Bryan captures the Universal Championship at Super Showdown? I don't even know if I should ask that. I mean, I guess it's possible, right? Like,
I mean, anything is possible in WWE. Yeah. But no, I think if Daniel was going to win the championship, he would have at the Rumble at this point. Yeah. Like you said, I think this match, if it is going to happen, which I'm sure we probably will, I could see it being a cage match or something like that, you know, over there. Just Daniel Bryan saying, like, you can't escape me. Like, this way, you know, the strap didn't work, but maybe a cage will, or just something to that effect. And then that being the final blow off there. But, yeah, no, I unfortunately don't see Daniel winning there either.
Yeah.
Or winning the title. If it's going to be if it's a non-title, then, you know, obviously, yeah, I could see that. But, well, maybe I shouldn't even say obviously, but no, I don't see him winning.
Maybe it's not going to be for the championship. Maybe he just says,
just like a grudge match or something.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I mean, because, you know, when WWE said that they are the automatic rematch clause is antiquated, and then yet Rey Mysterio gets out of nowhere like three opportunities week to week to week of getting a ladder match for the United States Championship and a rematch for the United States Championship. I mean, at some point you're like, well, what are you talking about? You're doing this now, right? I mean, so yeah, I'm fine with it just being a grudge match. I don't need the Universal Championship on the line. Maybe just Daniel Bryan needs to fight just to prove to himself that, you know, he still belongs here or something like that. There's ways to go about it. All right. So actually talking about Andrade and Humberto and Rey Mysterio, I'm sure you heard the news of Andrade being suspended for 30 days due to a failed wellness violation. And
yeah, I did.
And so, yeah, I mean, you see these come through and sometimes you're like, whoa, really? And we, you know, the non-wrestling fan, and some wrestling fans probably think automatically, oh, steroids, he's shooting up. I mean, that's just the knee-jerk kind of lazy analysis, I think, that some people make because, oh, wrestling, all wrestlers take steroids. But oftentimes, I mean, again, we don't know the details. It's confidential. It's, you know, HIPAA laws. We're never going to really know unless he discloses it of what exactly he failed. It could have been painkillers. It could have been something that he didn't let the office know that he was taking through a prescription, or maybe,
and I've heard a lot of times that's what it is. Like, if they don't submit their prescriptions by a certain deadline, then, you know, they're automatically hit with it.
Exactly.
So I've heard it's as minor as things like that. Not even the prescription could be 100% valid, but if you don't have it in by that deadline, you're done, you know, that's a mark, you know?
Exactly.
So I've definitely heard of things like that. And I don't see it being like a malicious thing that he was doing or like anything crazy like that. If I were to take a guess, I would say it was probably just a mistake that he just, you know, something in a similar fashion to that. And this will probably be like the first and last time he gets popped for something like that.
Definitely. I have no concern about it. It could have been something very minor or just pain pills are a common occurrence. There's just, you know, that will stick in your system. Maybe it was marijuana. Who knows? It could have been something. Yeah.
Yeah. And really quick, if you think about it, because if it was something major or not as minor or something like that, they would have taken the title off of him when they had the chance before they suspended him. Cause it's 30 days, you know, they definitely would have just stripped him of the title, or not stripped him necessarily, or had him lose. That's what I mean. You know, removed the title from him before they suspended him.
That's the other thing, right? They kept the championship on him. And if it ever came out that, oh my God, he was shooting up, or, you know, he has heroin in his system or something, the WWE would have taken the title off of him quicker than you could say, you know, failed. You know, you failed your drug test like that. They clearly knew that it was something that was just kind of like routine. Okay, you failed. Sorry, pal. You know, you're out for 30 days. And I have no concern about it. Furthermore, though, I mean, you have Humberto be the reason for his write-off. You have the DDT, the Hammerlock DDT that he returned the favor of doing to Andrade on the concrete, which isn't really concrete, by the way. They'd like to say it, but it's just a sub padding under the padding. But nonetheless, you have what I think here is is so striking to me that I love, and I talked about this, I don't know, some show than last week, is that Zelina Vega and what she brings to Humberto's character is something that you can't measure. She is an athlete in her own right, but the look of concern on her face after Humberto did what he did was money. She continues to be invested in every move that happens in the match. Her promos are consistently believable, and she has something about her that you just listen to. She doesn't feel scripted. She feels like just this vindictive, nasty, no mercy type of woman. The professional relationship she has with Humberto is awesome. There's no romantic relationship whatsoever there. I like that. It's all business all the time. There's just so much about her that is intangible that if she wanted to go off and have her own singles career, she absolutely could.
You know, as you were talking, I was sitting there thinking, it's a shame that since Andrade is going to be gone for 30 days, that we're most likely not going to see her unless they let her have a random singles match or something like that. But so then I was thinking, like, what else could she do? And wouldn't it be cool since it's established? Sorry. My dog jumped up.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be cool if they had some type of backstage segment with Aleister Black and Zelina Vega running into each other, and or maybe her addressing him and saying, hey, I heard what you said last week. You know, maybe not even that she has some free time on her hands, but maybe just set it up and have her start accompanying him to the ring as well, because we've seen with what they're doing with Sami Zayn that they're allowing a manager to manage multiple wrestlers at the same time. So not necessarily, I'm not advocating for them to be a faction, but her manage two individual wrestlers. I just think that would be a cool dynamic, you know, because it's established that her and Andrade are just a professional relationship. Whereas maybe they don't mention it, or maybe they could eventually mention the real life relationship that her and Aleister Black have. So I just think that could maybe be a cool twist. And even if they do go that route, I'm not saying that I want it to be a romantic storyline driven angle. I just want her to be the badass manager that she is for Andrade, for Aleister Black. And it just so happens that they're married as well. I just think it could be a cool dynamic.
Yeah, it definitely could be. They've never even teased that whatsoever. They've kept them separate. And you're right. I'm all for Zelina Vega being all business and no play. I don't need Zelina Vega doing what Mandy Rose is doing on SmackDown. I don't need her flirting with somebody or teasing, you know, I don't know, any kind of like romantic relationship with anybody. We all know about Aleister Black and her relationship. That's no secret. She needs to be all business. I could see her as women's champion at some point. I don't know if she's ever interested in doing that or continuing to evolve as a performer to do that. I have no idea. But for right now, Andrade is the true beneficiary of her at ringside. She is not only a great heel manager to take the heat and help him retain championships, but she just has a presence that can't be taught. I just love everything about her act, her presence, everything. I can't speak highly enough about what she does for herself and for Andrade, who in his own right is killing it. I mean, certainly he has performers and opponents that complement his style with Humberto and Rey Mysterio, but he's a hell of a performer because, I mean, his match that he had at Royal Rumble was off the charts. I loved his match. His match with Rey Mysterio. I mean, how can you ever have a bad one with Rey Mysterio and Andrade? You just can't. Now you have Humberto, who is kind of the young and up and comer. And I also liked what I saw on Monday with Humberto not sitting back and taking the loss and kind of just tucking his tail between his legs and saying, "Aw, shucks, I lost," and going back up the ramp. He showed some fire in attacking Andrade, which you didn't pin him for. They had kind of presented him as this kind of shy up-and-comer. He's good in the ring. He doesn't say a whole lot. And this is the first time with Humberto that you've seen fire and anger from him. And I really like that. He didn't sit back and take it and go, "Oh, darn, I'll get him next time." He did what he should have done. And that was attack Andrade. And of course, this is also a great reason to an excuse to keep Andrade out for the next few weeks as he serves his 30-day suspension.
Yeah, and I think it's a good sign for him, and I think that it kind of shows that they probably have faith in him as well, because they're allowing him to show this aggressive side very early on in his character, because he hasn't even been on the main roster for that long at all. I don't even think it's been a year yet. So I think it's promising for him, because you have guys like Ricochet, who they maybe, you know, he's a phenomenal athlete and he's always going to give you a good match, but you haven't seen that necessarily like Pitbull, like aggressive, like go at you type of side from him. And I think that since they're showing Umberto's side very quickly, or just, and not saying that he's going to just completely change, but just showing that, hey, you know, once he, you can mess with him, but not to a certain point, you know what I mean? So I think it's very telling, and I'm excited to see what they do with him going forward too, because he is that, you just look at him and he just screams babyface. Like his smile and the dimples, like, just scream that. But if he has this other side to him too, I think that's a very good sign for him.
Oh, he has that. He's like a 15-year-old face on a 28-year-old body. He's just got that young look.
Yeah.
That,
and the hair too. Like it's just, it fits. Like it's, well done, Umberto's parents. Well done.
Yes, yeah. I mean, congrats. Good job, guys. I mean, yes, he has a promising future, a bright future. I don't need him winning a championship anytime. I'm fine with him kind of just scratching at it and just getting the rub and showing that he can hang, but never quite getting there. That's fine. Not everybody needs to get a run with a championship. I'm not of that belief at all. Just like I'm not of the belief that WrestleMania needs to showcase every single performer you have on the roster. I don't understand the logic behind that. Not everybody gets a trophy. This isn't Little League, but WWE treats WrestleMania like Little League. And it's not good, I think, for internal competition, because I think that when you have everyone going, well, I know I'll get on the show somehow, even if it's in the Battle Royal, I believe that there is, as an athlete, you have that internal drive to be better. When you have a platform that you know you're going to be on, that's the biggest of the year, and at least you'll get a spot, I'll get a jersey, you know, and I'll get on the show somehow, you know, I'm happy with that. I think some people probably feel that way, and I don't think that really is a catalyst to bring out the best that you could be to get on the show in like a main event or something like that. So I think internally it creates kind of like a, oh, well, I get a trophy too, for some people that may not be super motivated. And on the flip side, you have WrestleMania for the fans. My God, we all know it's a marathon. It's just too much. I mean, I think I told you that I actually fell asleep during the women's main event, and I try my damnedest. My body's like, nope, you're not. Yeah. And I fell asleep during the main event of WrestleMania, which I couldn't believe.
We couldn't even celebrate Becky's win. Like literally the second he hit the three count, I had to leave, because if I would have been 2 seconds later, I would have missed my train. And a lot of people didn't even leave there until like 3 o'clock that morning.
Whew, that's right. You did
so,
say that.
Yeah. So yeah, but and it's stuff like that, you know, like it takes, you can't even enjoy that moment. So like you were saying, like not everyone has to be on the card.
No, but I mean, it's so funny. I was just doing like some wrestling nostalgia shows this week, and we look at WrestleMania 15. That show was 2 hours and 45 minutes. It was under 3 hours. Yeah. WrestleMania was shorter than a Monday Night Raw.
Exactly.
Like, how is that possible?
Mind blowing.
And we think about those WrestleManias as some of the best of all time. And of course, you had an all-star cast. You had Rock. You had Austin. You had Undertaker. You had Triple H. I mean, you look at the names. Of course, that helps. But my God, you're never left wanting more after WrestleMania. You're left going, oh my God, now we have 3 hour Monday Night Raw to go. Like, And there's the pre-show and the post-show, and it's your brain as a human being. We only have X amount of space for information, and about halfway through the show, you're already at capacity.
Well, because you got to think too. A lot of people tailgate, so a lot of people are getting there at 11, 12 o'clock that day.
Yeah.
So you're thinking they're there for 12 hours.
Oh God.
You know. So like at that point, like by the time 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock comes, you may only be an hour or two into the show, but those people have been there all day. And now since their stadium shows, they're outside, and either the heat, and especially this year in Tampa, you know, it's probably, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be blazing hot, but it's, you know, going to be pretty warm. So just all that factors into the show, and all that factors into, yes, like you want to have people, a nice payoff for people who have worked hard throughout the year and allow them to be on the card, like for the Battle Royal type. But, you know, at the end of the day too, like you should earn your spot on the card in a singles match, or not in a singles match per se, but in a match, but not like a battle royal type. You know what I mean? If you have a storyline, you're on the card. If not, you're not. Like, and it sucks. And like, it's just, it is what it is, you know?
And they build the WrestleMania as the Super Bowl of the year for them. Well, when you look at the Super Bowl, who's there? The people that deserve to be there. They don't have every team come out and get a play in and get a throw and, oh, my turn. I mean, that's not the way it works. In any championship game for any sport, you have the best of the best be there, and that's the way it should be. I know why they do it, partly because it's probably good for morale for some of the talent, even though it's kind of gifting them something that they may not have earned. Number one, the fans are exhausted. It's not great for internal competition, but I also think the other part of this is that for their network numbers, so they can say, oh, Wall Street, look, we had more people watching our network this year than last year. So I think longer events, by the very nature of the long events, kind of skew that number to Wall Street to show that we have the WWE network being watched more often and longer by our subscribers, even though they're extending the shows. That skews the number that they're trying to portray when you dig into why that is. Why are people watching the network more? Well, it's because you have an 8-hour WrestleMania and you have a 5-hour Royal Rumble. And you know what I mean? So I think the other part of this is Wall Street. I really believe that.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of Wall Street, I'm sure you heard the news this week, the Wall Street numbers and how much the stock dropped and all that.
I did not. How did I miss this?
Really?
What happened?
I think, man, because you heard of, George and, George Berrios and what is her name? The co-presidents for WWE, they were forced out. So Vince released a statement. I don't know if it was from Vince himself or his, like Vince's rep or whatever, but yeah, he like forced out the co-presidents, which once Wall Street found out, WWE stock plummeted.
Oh,
like,
Michelle Wilson and George Berrios.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah. The stock dropped. God. I think it got as low as like $40-something.
I'm reading. I'm glad you told me this because I can't believe I missed this.
Yeah.
Quick thing. It says the firm's stock tumbled 21.5% to $48. Its lowest level in nearly 2 years following the sudden departure of George and Michelle. Wow.
Read Vince's comments. Try to find them really quick because they were quite interesting.
He says, I am grateful for all that was accomplished during their tenure, but the board and I decided a change was necessary as we have different views on how to best achieve our strategic priorities moving forward. Wow.
And these people have been there for like 10 years, like not just like a couple years, you know, in prominent positions too. So, and for him to just make any type of statement instead of the standard, you know, we appreciate your time, best of luck in the future endeavors type of thing, just to actually say like an explanation. It's quite interesting. And then to see how the stock dropped.
Wow. It shows instability at the top of an organization.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, wow. I can't believe I missed this. This was something that was published on, yesterday morning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was
oh
not
my
long
gosh.
Ago. Yeah. Crazy.
Wow. Well,
right?
I think that, wow, that is pretty telling that it's, again, very general, and we don't know what, well, if you ask Michelle and you ask George, hey, what were your strategic visions and how did it differ? And, you know, I would love to know what their strategic vision was versus Vince's strategic vision. What was the true catalyst for that? I would love to talk to these people.
I would love to hear a podcast from them.
Oh, man. What? Oh, son. Oh, wow. That's big. And I will say that if you're into stocks and things, buy, right? Buy, mm-hmm. buy WWE. That is certainly something that I think if you're into that kind of stuff. And I actually owned WWE stock, oh my gosh, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And it was like $20 a share. And I'm like, I don't know. And then it's like spiked to like $60-$70 a share. But anyway, so that's a very interesting, very interesting statement by Vince, and the stock tumbled almost a quarter. That's huge.
Right.
So, holy crap. So a couple more things and then we'll wrap this thing up unless you have other things. Honestly, it's impossible to cover everything because there is just, especially with all the different angles and things and But to kind of lighten the mood, or maybe not, what did you think of Santina Marella making her, really his, appearance in the Royal Rumble match for the women? Did you find it entertaining? Did you say, what is this nonsense? What did you think?
I was one of those people who was just like, you know, it is what it is. And I was happy for Santino. I mean, of course, I get that it's a man dressing up as a woman, obviously entering the Women's Rumble, and there's plenty of other athletes who deserve that spot and all that. But I mean, it was just to lighten the mood. It was just for fun. So it is what it is. It was fun. I think he was on After the Bell, or he did an interview somewhere where he had mentioned that he was going to maybe try to come back as himself next time. So I think it is what it is, you know. Don't get too worked up over it. Although I can see why people would be upset, you know, because there are plenty of women on the roster who deserve a spot like that. But for me personally, I was like, you know, it is what it is. I was actually more surprised that Sasha Banks was not in the Rumble match than that Santina was in. So,
with Sasha not there, it was very surprising. I know that on SmackDown, Bayley alluded to that Lacey Evans is responsible for injuring Sasha, which is why she wasn't involved in the Women's Royal Rumble, which I actually haven't heard what the real deal is. I would assume Sasha was injured to not make an appearance in the Royal Rumble match for the women. I mean,
yeah, I have no idea.
Come on. Yeah. It's been very radio silent on the whole Sasha Banks incident, if there was one. So yeah, that's very surprising. But the other point that I wanted to ask you was, Naomi's return on SmackDown, clearly challenging next for the Women's Championship on SmackDown, and has a new look, has a RoboCop head that's kind of like doubles as a disco ball coming down to the ring. She's got a somewhat new gear. She's got new hair. She's relatively the same gimmick, and she's challenging now, assumingly, for the SmackDown Women's Championship, probably at Super Showdown. What do you think about Naomi's return? Is this, I mean, we kind of alluded to, and I actually thought Nia Jax would make a return and really make her presence felt.
Yeah, me
but
too.
Naomi's back. How do you feel about her?
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm a fan of Naomi. I was actually a fan of hers when she was the champion. I think she was a really good champion. I think she really proved herself, and I think she has pretty decent matches. And I think she's a very good character. I love the neon light gimmick and the dancing. Like, I just think it's a cool character and a cool vibe, and not a lot of people could pull it off and just like embrace it and just make it feel natural as she does. So I'm here for it. And I think it's a good pairing, her and Bayley. I think they'll have a decent match at Super Showdown if that's where it ends up happening. But I think this is kind of like a good holdover for Bayley as well until she gets into her feud with whoever she's going to face at WrestleMania. But yeah, I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a good match, and I'm happy that Naomi's back.
I am too. SmackDown certainly needs depth on the women's end of the roster, and I'm all for it.
And everyone likes her. Yep. Like, she gets a reaction. Like, people actually like her, you know? It's not just, you know, people stand and just, you know, like, maybe clap just out of politeness. But, like, people are actually happy to see her, you know?
Yo, certainly, and it's been forever. I mean, I don't even know the last time I saw her. Might have been slightly after WrestleMania, or maybe even before WrestleMania last year. It feels like it's been months and months and months that we've seen Naomi, and it's good to see her back. I like that she changed her look a little bit. She's got energy. Like you said, no one else can really pull off what she does. I love her high energy introduction, and certainly lends itself to being a baby face. I mean, that's a baby face entrance if I've ever seen one. So. One last thing I wanted to ask you, and like I said, if you want to bring up anything else, you're more than welcome. Just as a whole, what do you think about kind of the Seth Rollins evolution? Buddy Murphy's now with him. Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe have bonded over this common enemy. And, you know, this past week, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy got a victory. And, well, they're the Raw Tag Team Champions, number one. They beat the Viking Raiders. And they also continue to beat Joe, and they continue to beat Kevin Owens. How do you grade this whole program so far?
Yeah, I'm totally digging it. I love this version of Seth. I love his little faction. I love what they're doing with Buddy Murphy. I love that they're the tag team champions. Like everyone else, I think I was surprised at first as well that AOP didn't become the tag champs, but I kind of like it. Buddy deserves this. I like him and Seth together. He can do nothing but benefit from Seth. And Seth is, I feel like Seth is like a good teacher, you know, like he is going to be great for Buddy Murphy and for AOP as well, obviously, but I'm here for it. But I want Joe and Kevin Owens to kind of get the upper hand now. Like, I kind of want them to be a little bit more dominant, if this is going to continue on, which I'm sure it will. But how do you think this is going to end? Do you see maybe Joe turning on Kevin Owens at some point and maybe linking up with Seth, or how do you think this is going to end?
That's more likely, I think, than the other way around.
Because I could see one more guy in Seth's group. Like, I could see a fifth guy there.
And could it be Samoa Joe? I would not put it past him. Yeah.
And they obviously have history.
And Joe, I think, didn't get a fair shake at a true monster heel run. And yeah, he'd be part of a group, but he'd be part of one of the best groups WWE has had since, my God, I wouldn't even say Nexus, because Nexus wasn't even that good outside of Wade Barrett. And so it's been a long time since we've seen a true faction. And if Joe was going to defect, I think that would be I think awesome. But I wouldn't do it yet. I think that there's still a story to tell.
Yeah.
And certainly with Kevin Owens being outnumbered now, having him lose Joe to go to Seth's group, which is yet to be named, Kevin Owens needs more help. And I don't know who and what that could be. Eventually, I think Edge is going to get involved, probably after WrestleMania, to shut Seth up and eventually go into a long program, which I can't wait for. But I think Kevin Owens needs help. And people have been saying, oh, maybe it's CM Punk who's going to come back and help him, because there's been that whole Seth Rollins and Punk Twitter, non-Twitter, WWE backstage kind of heat, but not real. So there's that they could maybe pull on. So is Punk going to come back for WrestleMania to help him? I don't know. Maybe he shows up at Mania and has a one-off. I don't know. But the point is that if that's going to happen, if Joe's going to defect, which I ultimately think could be a possibility, or maybe they just go their separate ways after this program's over and peacefully go their separate ways, I just think there needs to be somebody else in the moment to help these two just combat this group that is dominating right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Real quick, what do you think of what happened on Friday night with Otis and Mandy Rose, and now they're going to have a date on Valentine's Day?
It's funny. When that happened, she said, oh, I'm not available this Friday, I'm thinking, oh, here we go. It's finally going to say, you thought I would actually like someone like you.
Yeah.
And then we all get, you know. And then she said, well, I'm available the following Friday. And I really didn't know it was Valentine's Day until Tucker said, I'm like, oh, crap, that's right.
It's a nice reminder.
I'm like, oh, phew. I'm like, you just saved my marriage.
Right.
Like, thank you. So when he said that, I'm like, that's right. Makes total sense. And certainly they need to take advantage of it, as Valentine's Day falls on Friday every 7 years. So this is, I think, a good time to further this storyline and really point the direction it's truly going to go. I think this could be one of those China Mark Henry type of connections where it's kind of a mismatch, but ultimately it may at least on the surface look like it works. I'm sure WWE cameras will follow them wherever they go, and they'll have a dinner, and maybe it ends with a goodnight kiss, and you know, Otis stands there and you know like it's his first kiss in high school. I don't know. I'm sure they have big plans for it. Vince loves this kind of stuff, loves it, and I'm sure Vince's fingerprints are going to be all over this one. And yeah, ultimately, do I see her and Otis being a true item and not just being this Otis being the butt of the joke to have Mandy eventually just, you know, crush his heart like we all think is going to happen? I'm 50-50 on it. I hate to cop out. I don't know. What do you think?
Part of me has this weird feeling that Sonya Deville is going to get involved and get kind of jealous. I kind of see Mandy like taking a liking to Otis and just kind of like, I see their Valentine's Day going really well. And I see just Sonya getting kind of jealous of the attention that she's given to Otis. So, and I think it kind of it's gonna break them up, because they keep losing every week too. So they've got to be losing every week for a reason. And I think this Otis storyline was just a segue to get Sonya and Mandy actually feuding, just besides the standard tag team breaking up. So I think that may be the end point, and Mandy actually being the good guy where we all assume Sonya would be.
Yes, you're right. I mean, they've teased the tension between these two. And then last week when Sonya said, I want Otis on my ringside for me because it seems to help you, ultimately having Sonya Deville lose because of his presence outside the ring, having him help Mandy in the Royal Rumble was actually pretty funny. The way that she fell out of the ring into his arms.
It was perfect. It was so perfect.
It was. And they've done a lot of things to undermine the relationship between Mandy and Sonya Deville. And I'm fine with that. Ultimately, if this is going to be the ends to the means here are, it's going to be Mandy versus Sonya. Because Sonya is the jealous friend that is being pushed to the side because she's now with this new boyfriend and she's getting no attention. Mandy is could clearly and easily and logically turn face here, and Sonya would be the heel.
That's what SmackDown needs for their women's division. They need a heel, and I think Sonya would be perfect for that. She has an MMA background. She can use that fighter intensity, and she just looks the part. Like, she could be a good heel, I feel like. And what better way to start off than going after Mandy, you know? So I just that's how I envision it. Could be way off, but that's how I hope it plays out, just because I feel like Mandy and Sonya deserve a solid storyline too, because I think they're good in the ring, and they're obviously not going to do anything with them as a tag team by making a solid run for the titles anytime soon. So I just think that that's the best option at this point.
It is. They got to be doing something with this. And the tension teasing, and like you said, they've lost on SmackDown how many weeks in a row now? I mean, four weeks. Yeah, it's been a long time since they've captured a victory. And even Corey Graves said on SmackDown, hey, you know, things haven't been going their way for a while now. And so they're giving you a reminder that they're on a losing streak, and Sonya could easily blame, you know, we were doing fine until Otis came along, and then, you know, you stopped hanging out with them. There's a ton that they can draw on the jealous friend. So I think, yeah, that's probably where they're going. Ultimately, Mandy going to be the babyface coming out of this. But is Otis and Mandy a real thing? I would think so. If she's going to turn face, it really wouldn't make sense for her to turn on Otis, to ultimately just crush his heart and string him along. You can't have two heels here. So I think that this is probably going to be billed as the real thing, and she's not trying to just string him along like a total you-know-what. So
I think she was. And I think she'll probably admit that at some point, that she was, but that maybe even on Valentine's Day, I think maybe she'll admit to him that she wasn't really feeling him, but he won her over at the end. You know, I could see it kind of taking that approach.
Definitely. There's no question about it. And
I'm so happy for Otis. Like, it's just, at least right now, like, just seeing how happy he was, like, it made me happy, you know?
And the funny thing about this is, yes, it's a storyline, but I'm sure in real life, like, let's be totally honest about this. I think the fact is, you probably wouldn't see somebody like Mandy with Otis. Let's just be honest. So Otis is probably literally the person is having the time of his life right now.
Oh, it's a win-win, like, all around.
I'm not body shaming. The fact is, the facts are facts. Like, I have never in my life seen anybody look like Otis and also see somebody in his arms like Mandy. It's not going to happen. It's just not. So Otis is probably like, hey, Vince, can we just, like, continue this for a while? This is awesome. So I'm sure he's loving it. I'd like to know what Mandy as a person thinks, like, not the character, the person is thinking about this whole thing. I'm sure she's having fun with it. But I'm sure that Otis, again, I don't know his real name, but is truly enjoying it more than he will ever let on to anybody that, hey, oh yeah, it's just a job. I don't think anything beyond that. Yeah. BS. Right. So this is something that, again, I think it's good for everybody. This is something that is easy to follow. It's fun to follow because you want to see week to week how the things build and what's next for them. Are they going to hug? Is maybe he going to kiss her? Like, what's going to happen? Versus, to me at least, it's much more enjoyable than the just impossible to follow Bobby Lashley, Lana, Liv Morgan, Rusev, Jerry Springer on steroids, but in a bad way, TV with the other side on Raw. So this is much more enjoyable to me.
Me too.
All right. Wow. Well, boy, an hour and a half goes quick. really does. It's insane. So now, again, there's a lot more that we just didn't get into and dive into. I mean, we could dive into what Charlotte Flair and, you know, what she's been doing, where she could truly be going, if there's a possibility of her going anywhere else. I mean, there are things that we didn't touch on. Aleister Black kind of being pushed to the side this past week, and he faced Kenneth Johnson, I think, this week. There's a lot of different things that we can go into. And, you know, short of sitting here for 5 hours, I think I'm going to end it here. But I would like to thank you for coming on. And of course, though, before you head out, remind everyone where they can find you and the other podcast that you do that is available on other platforms. And it's also video, right?
Yeah. The video stream is every Tuesday at 8:30 through Facebook. Check out Wrestle Rewind. And of course, the audio version is available on podcast pretty much anywhere at this point. And yeah, I'm on Twitter at ASHMANNS. But thank you so much for having me on. It was such a blast being able to recap this entire crazy week that we've had. And it's crazy, man, like how much things have changed in a week.
It's insane. And this, again, as a whole, and I said this and I continue to say it, even though it's been almost a week now, I wanted to see how I felt and digest it. The Royal Rumble this past Sunday was one of the best Royal Rumbles I've ever seen watching wrestling ever. And the way that it was structured, obviously Edge's return, which gave me goosebumps, it gave me, like, I have watched Edge's return probably 30 times, like, on YouTube, just that clip WWE has. Like, it's just that is true emotion. It's wrestling at its damn best, and that's what keeps you glued, are those moments. Those are the things I love. And this past week, wrestling is really on a high right now. I mean, Raw is doing really good in its storytelling for the most part. Again, the Royal Rumble was awesome. That was one of the best pay-per-views in general that I've seen in a while. And now, of course, we get into the beloved Saudi Arabia events that, don't worry, we only have 8 more years to go with their agreement. So people better buckle up, whether they boycott those events or they watch them or hate them or think, you know, whatever of it. It's blood money, all that stuff. I mean, the fact is it's here for 8 more years. And I'm also doing my math here. And don't you know it, 3 weeks from tonight is the preview show for the Saudi Arabia event Super Showdown. Huh. And actually, if you hang on, I'm going to Google something because I got to know. Let's see here. What I'm doing is, let's see here. Elimination Chamber 2020. What date is that? That is, let's see. Okay. Sunday, March 8th. So that would put us, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Oh, no, I think our streak ends. Okay.
Oh,
that's crazy. So here, think about this. The Super Showdown is the 27th, a Thursday. That's just insanity. And then 10 days later is Super Showdown on March 8th.
Jeez.
So there is zero turnaround time for the Elimination Chamber. That's crazy. That is, I would think that it would have been like, you know, at least a 2 week gap minimum, but that's only a week of television they have to get ready for the Elimination Chamber. So
if we think we had a lot of content thrown at us right now, just wait till that few weeks span.
Yeah. Wow. That's shocking. And then obviously WrestleMania. So our next, I'm just scheduling this out because I'm very curious.
I know,
we have
me too.
1, 2. Okay, so you'll be here for the preview show, and then 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Yes, as the I don't even know what to say anymore.
Yeah.
Because if I did 6 weeks from now, which would be April 4th,
is the day before WrestleMania.
I'll be
in Tampa, so I'll be able. That'll be an interesting show, to say the least.
Wow. Yeah. And I know you're in Tampa, so I mean, we'll figure out the logistics and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I don't think I'm going to take over that night. So we'll figure out a time, but I'll be free at some point that night for sure.
Awesome. And then, wow, that's crazy. And then
what, it really is.
I don't even want to say anymore. I'm done with it.
Right.
And then, I'd like to, and again, this is like, well, actually like 10 weeks, 9 weeks away, but maybe the Monday Night Raw after, or Monday or Tuesday, have another one of those like huge shows, just because I can't even imagine what the conversation is going to be at that point. But are you staying in Tampa through Sunday, Monday? Like,
I'll be there for, of course, Mania. I'll be there for Monday Night Raw, and then I'll be leaving Tuesday morning.
All right. So maybe a Tuesday show. Okay. All right. Wow. This is going to be insane.
It is.
Well, don't worry. You're here for every single one of the previews, so have no fear. All right. Well, Ashley, thanks for coming on. You are the forever preview show co-host. It's just forever. It's meant to be. So thank you so much for coming on, and enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy your dog. And
I was just about to say, I'm sorry for my dog. She's normally in the other room, but tonight, like I said, she just wanted to sleep in here. I was like, all right, fine. And then she just wanted to be the star of the show, so there's that. Next time, I'll be better prepared for her.
No, it's fine. I think I can't believe you didn't hear anything. My dog is like scratching at the door, so I feel it. So, all right. Well, thanks for coming on, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.